Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Father, we thank you for your presence in our life. There is nothing impossible with you. Nothing impossible with you. Having hope in times when hopelessness surrounds us, it's nothing to you. Help us to understand that we can know your love. And when your love is poured in our heart, hope is poured into our heart. Because we know that you're good, and we know that you're kind, and we know that you're for us. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that this time we share together in your presence will be a time when hope abounds in their heart, and that their faith will give substance to that hope, and they will live in triumph no matter what the circumstances of life around us. So Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us today to yield our hearts to you, to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, I'm so glad that you're joining us today. We're going to spend time in God's Word here in a moment. And I want to talk to you about how to have hope when it's hopeless. Because in the world we're living in today, I think it's a pretty fair assumption to say that it's a little dark. There's so many unknowns. There's so many things that people are questioning. This could happen, that could happen. And if you're not careful, it could absolutely capture your heart. So I want to literally go into your soul today and help you to have hope, then help you to realize that hope. But you know, it's good to understand what is hope. The Bible gives us a definition of it. Hope is a joyful expectation. Now listen to those words, a joyful expectation of good from the hand of God. Sometimes there is no hope around us. Now this situation is very, very dire in our nation. Regardless of whether we're provided hope naturally or not, there's hope in God. And when you grasp this so deeply in your heart that the Father himself loves you, it's an amazing thing to have hope in times of hopelessness. And that's how you're called to live as a Christian. But the absence of hope is paralyzing. Proverbs tells us this in chapter 13 and verse 12. When hope is deferred or put off to the future, it will make your heart sick. But a desire fulfilled becomes a tree of life. When hopelessness settles into your heart, it doesn't matter what area of your life, but it's certain right now with what's happening in our nation, with this virus, with the economic impact. Right now, it's critical that we understand hope can be deferred. It can look like, man, this is hopeless. But something happens when you believe that. Your heart gets sick. Do you know, a sick heart and a sick body don't function well. The same way a very sick body cannot function at full capacity, neither can a sick heart. And the virus of fear is what grows in the heart when it's sick. And like a virus, it's easily passed on. Fear, like hope, can be easily passed on. And what I want to help you understand today, how to live this out of the depths of your heart, is how to live beyond the virus of fear. Because fear is a driver. It drives people. It brings out the worst in people. Fear creates in you, fear creates in me, a reservoir mindset where I'm hoarding, I'm hoping, I'm just closing in my borders and my walls. A reservoir is where you keep something. But as a Christian, you're not called to live in the reservoir of life. You're called to live like a river. And when people live in the reservoir mindset, it creates some weird behaviors. In fact, this roll of toilet paper is like gold in the culture today. You talk about a reservoir mindset. You've got to see this video. It's a news story from Australia about the toilet paper bandit. Take a look at this.
I want to go live now to Ruth Wynn Williams at Auburn. Ruth, thieves have stolen hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. How did they do it?
Well, Pete, just as so many people right across our city have been struggling to get their hands on what has become such a bizarrely precious commodity, two men have hit the loading zones of a string of Woolies in the west in Granville and here in Auburn. They managed to make off with around 400 rolls. One of the men was armed with a knife, and at a time like this, Pete, police, authorities, They're not taking this lying down.
Using a knife to threaten shopkeepers while you're stealing toilet paper is not only illegal, it's just downright disgusting.
To me, it's astonishing that somebody would deliberately target supermarkets knowing the situation we're in.
Pete, the two men are in their 30s. Pay attention to their picture tonight. Police say if anyone who matches their description, and this is going to sound strange, if anyone who matches their description tries to sell you toilet rolls, they should be reported straight away. Bizarre times, Pete.
You know, that's like something you would see on a comedy show. The toilet paper bandits. I love what she said. This might sound strange, but if someone tries to sell you toilet paper with this description, call the police. Fear is a reservoir. Can I tell you what happens when you live by faith? You live by a river. Because, in fact, Jesus said, he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It's unnatural for a Christian to live in a reservoir mindset. In fact, as a church right now, we're doing more externally. We're pouring ourselves out more than we ever have. Because you see, when you walk with God, the circumstances around you don't dictate the way you live your life. The river of God doesn't stop flowing when it gets difficult. But we get to choose whether we live in fear or whether we live in faith. We get to choose whether fear extracts the hope from our heart or faith gives substance to that hope. Right now as a church, right now, we're serving in Newcastle in a way that's remarkable. We're distributing food there 3 days a week, hot meals in the evening. Here in the Cranberry campus, we're doing what we call Help Your Neighbor, and that's where you can come Monday through Saturday from 10 to 2 and drop off groceries and pick up groceries. This week at the Cranberry campus, we're actually bagging up 1,000 bags of groceries to distribute in Newcastle. That's what people do when they live in the river and not in the reservoir. See, this is a time to actually live outside of yourself, not within yourself. Of course, you want to follow all the protocols and social distancing and all those things, but I'm saying to you that you, in your heart, you can make a decision that you're not going to live in the boundaries of fear. In fact, you can go to our website and find out more information about this and even more opportunities to serve right now. People need us when they need us. And right now is the greatest opportunity for God's people to pour their lives out and to be an ever-present help in times of trouble for people. In fact, this Tuesday night at 7, we're doing a virtual town hall. And we're going to be helping you how to deal with the COVID virus at home. Life at home during COVID-19. And it's having an impact on people emotionally, spiritually. And for those of you with kids at home, it's impacting you educationally. So at the town hall, we're going to have help in all of those areas, including educationally. So make sure you let other people know about it. It's going to be a great resource of hope for people. But when a person lives in the faith of God, when they let God provide their hope, and then their faith in God provides substance to that hope, God begins to open doors that would never open otherwise. God opens doors that actually no man can close. You know, as a church, as we began to reach out right in the middle of this and serve the Newcastle area and the Cranberry area now, something amazing happened. We didn't ask for it. We didn't seek for it. We didn't have a strategy. But Walmart contacted us. And they've ultimately sent, as of yet, they've sent 3 full tractor trailers full of food. And then gave us a check of over $37,000 to go buy the things that people need. I'm telling you, God is doing something amazing in this time. Don't miss it. Don't, when this is over and you look back, don't live looking backward saying, I lived in the reservoir. There's an amazing joy living this way. It's an incredible, incredible way to live. Companies like Cisco, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Oot Snacks, they're all providing things. Cisco is providing tons of things for us to just simply give away. So here's the question I have for us today. So how do I have hope in hopeless times? Because the reality of it is, either those of you watching this or someone you certainly know has lost a job, has had a financial impact. If you have a 401k, it's now a 201k. This is impacting people. If you're getting ready, thinking of retirement, this is impacting you. Those things don't go away. We're not pretending. Faith is not pretend. Faith is taking the power of God and bringing it into your present tense. So how do you do it? How do you actually have hope when times are hopeless? Well, the main thing you first have to understand is this. We have to understand that faith has a place in hope. Walking by faith has a place in living out your hope or experiencing the hopes of your heart. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the substance of, or the title deed of the things, listen now, that we hope for. Faith is the evidence of the things not seen. See, hope is always pushing into the future. Hope is more passive in that it's pointing toward what you're expecting for tomorrow. Hope is passive. Listen, hope is a great waiter, but a poor, poor receiver. Let me say that again. Hope is a great waiter. It waits well, but it's a poor receiver. But the scripture tells us that faith gives substance to your hope. In fact, he said this, faith becomes your title deed or proof of ownership of what you hope for, but yet you do not see. The Amplified Bible says it this way, your faith will perceive as real fact what not yet has been revealed to your senses. So I want to help you to walk in faith today so that your hope can be realized. Now, the people of God were under tremendous attack. In fact, they came into a place to where all hope was gone. There was absolutely no way they were going to survive what was about to happen to them. King Jehoshaphat was ruling over the people of God, and something very dangerous happened. It came to his attention that three armies were coming against Israel, not to give them a bad day or have them be homebound for a couple weeks. They were coming to destroy them. Listen, to annihilate them as a people, to either bring them into captivity as slaves or to annihilate the name of Israel as it would never exist before. And they were so greatly outnumbered that they became hopeless. In fact, when they began to talk about it, the king said, when he prayed, he said, God, there is no power in our hand to be able to solve this problem. And you see, when hopelessness comes, it's when people give up. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Without a vision or a sight for the future, the Bible said people cast off restraint and they give up. And they came into a hopeless time. I want to walk you through what they did and how their faith became active and they actually found hope in God when there was none present. Listen, if you're going to learn to live as a believer who lives a spiritual life, you're going to have to learn to find your hope in God and your faith in Him. And it's not just some kind of psychological thing. This is about bringing the power of God into your everyday life where God Himself, your Father, wants to be an ever-present help in the times of trouble of your life and my life. So what did they do first? They actually prayed first. They prayed first. You'll hear people say this, man, oh, we have to pray. Or it's like the last thing, all we have left to do now is pray. Prayer is not the last resort. Prayer is your first step as a Christian. It's not what you do when you have no more strength in your hand. It's what you always do. Pray first, go to God first. Let me show you what happened. When Jehoshaphat heard this information, it said in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, that he became alarmed. Good reason. He became alarmed, and Jehoshaphat resolved. Now listen, he resolved not to wring his hands, not to figure out 50 different ways to maybe win a battle that's unwinnable. He resolved to inquire of the Lord, and then he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Then all of the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town of Judah to seek him. You'll go on reading that their wives came, their children came, and even their little ones. You see, they brought everybody together, and they said, we have no hope in this world. We are going to go to our God. The second thing they did is they sought the presence of God. See, if you're not careful, your relationship with God will become religious. It will become just this kind of plastic, shadowy thing that doesn't really matter or do anything. But they didn't seek some kind of formula. They sought God's presence. Now, in the Old Testament, the presence of God was in the temple. Now, you know in the New Testament that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God said, I will dwell in you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But let me show you what they did. In 2 Chronicles 25, it said, then King Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. And what they did is they went to the place where God's presence was. That's what you have to do as a believer. You have to come into the presence of God because it's in his presence you find hope. It's letting Christ in you govern your life. It's taking times where your mind is screaming, circumstances are all around you. Your mind wants to worship them. But you take yourself into the presence of God and you begin to worship him. And you come into his presence. Can I tell you, when you get in the manifest presence of God, you say, what's the manifest presence of God? The manifest presence of God is when you are aware that you are in his very presence. Is there anything too hard for God, the scripture said? Hope comes from his presence. Now remember this, prayer is not some kind of therapist that calms your fear, but it is an actual connection to the God who made the universe. I'm not diminishing therapy. It's a wonderful thing. But sometimes people use prayer like, oh, we prayed and now I feel better. Come on. Prayer to the living God is not about you getting a salve on your feelings for a few moments and then go back into the hopelessness and the fear and the reservoir of living. Prayer is when you contact the God of the universe, who's your Father, who said, for you, I will be an ever-present help in times of trouble. And they didn't stop there. They then spoke out loud and declared the hope they received from God. You're going to have to begin to let your heart and mouth and mind agree with what God says. You can't come into God's presence and God's word and read it like it's some little thing you do in a corner. This is a lifestyle. And it has to govern the way you think. It has to govern the way you speak. It has to govern the way you act. Because when you do that, you put that all of the resources to heaven. They come to bear into your individual circumstance and our circumstance as a nation. I want you to see what they declared before God. They were standing before the temple in his presence. And listen to what they declared. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 8, it said, he's actually praying. And he said, Lord, now we're dwelling in the land that you've given us. And we have built you a sanctuary in this land for your name. And here's what they said when they built the temple years before. And they're reminding God what they prayed years before. Now listen to this. They said, Lord, if calamity will ever come upon us, whether with the sword of judgment, a plague, or famine, we will come and stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. And I want you to listen to these words of hope. And we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. Now, there is nothing naturally to make them believe that's true. But they know that they belong to God. They know that they're in his presence. And they said, Lord, when we built this temple, this is the prayer we prayed, and we repeat it now in your presence. And the day's now upon us, Lord, when they're coming literally with armies to wipe us out. And I know right now that you not only hear us, but you will save us. You will save us. They declared their hope out of their mouth. If you're going to live the Christian walk where it produces a God power in your life, you've got to get your mouth involved. You can't speak words contrary to God being your Savior in this situation and then expect your heart to believe it. It's not going to work that way. We have to humble ourselves and do what they did. They declared their hope, because without faith, without hope, faith has nothing to give substance to. Hope is very important because faith in God gives substance to what you hope for. But if your hopes are gone, then your faith has nothing to give substance to. But what do you do when the circumstance is hopeless? What do you do when the circumstances that surround you are utterly hopeless and you can't find hope anywhere around you in the circumstances of life. What do you do at that moment? Here's what they did, and this is what we must do. God's word became their source of hope. Let me say that again. God's word became their source of hope. That's why we're told in Scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight, because sometimes surrounding you, there's nothing you can grab onto to give you hope. Sometimes the circumstances can become so utterly hopeless, but there's always a source of what God says. And when they were facing certain death, they went to God's word. And what did God say about our circumstance? Oh, I don't know how to emphasize this anymore for you. You have to go to what God says to find your expectation of good for your future. Hope is found in the word of God. In 2 Chronicles 20, listen to what happened when God spoke to them through a prophet. In verse 14, it says this, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, as he stood in the assembly." And here's what he said. "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you." You say, "Well, I'm not having a prophet show up in my house giving me a word from God." Do you know the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter that we actually have a more sure word of prophecy, and it's referring to the Scripture? The Scripture is God speaking to you. In fact, it's a more sure word of prophecy than they had with this prophet speaking to them. So again, let me go on and read what the word of God was to them. And by the way, this is the same word of God for you today. And he said this, "This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid." Now remember, they're facing certain death. "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Don't lose your courage because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow you march down against them." Now, God made it clear, this battle is mine, not yours. But then he told them things they needed to do. But the things they were going to do were not going to be the things that won the battle. But the things they were going to do was going to be adding faith to their hope. It was going to add action to what God said to them. And listen to what God told them to do. "Even though the battle is not yours but mine," he said, "tomorrow you march down against them." And then God gives them some spying information that only a spy would know. He said, they're going to be climbing up past the pass of Ziz. And you'll find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Juriel. You will not need or have to fight in this battle. Take up your positions, though. Stand firm, and then you will see the deliverance that your God will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You go out and you face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat the king bowed his face to the ground, all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and they all fell down, and they began to worship before God. I want you to grasp what actually happened here. God spoke to them, and he said, "Tomorrow, I'm going to do something amazing for you. I'm going to fight a battle, but I need you to honor me and to obey me." Now, can you imagine going into bringing your army that's so far outnumbered, you're going to be slaughtered? And that's where they're at. And they are not hiding from their enemy. They're marching toward their enemy. Do you see how faith lives so differently than fear? Fear would find a way to retreat and hide. But faith in God and hope from God changes the way you think, changes the way you speak, changes the way you act. And they were told very clearly, take up your position in faith. Stand firm in what God's word says about you. And then as a result of that, not independently of it, but as a result of your faith in what I said to do, you will see the salvation. Many people are waiting to see the salvation and then thank God. Many people are waiting for circumstances to change before they let their heart change. But they did something after this that's very important. They fell down and they worshiped God. Listen, please, worship is not a song. Worship is what you exalt, what I exalt in my life. That's what worship is. Worship is when I take what God said and I exalt it above my feelings. Worship is when I take what God says about my circumstance, what God says about the issues in our life today, and I exalt them above anything I feel, anything I hear on the news, any projections, any stock market, and I walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the fifth thing they did, is they actually, by faith, acted upon the word of God. Faith is acting on the word of God. It means it governs what you choose. Faith acts like God isn't a liar. Faith acts like God is worthy to be trusted. Faith acts like God's word is true. And it took faith to do what they did, as it's going to take faith for you to do what God tells you to do. And they got up early in the morning, and I want you to see what happened when they acted on the word of God. In verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20, it says this. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. I just have to tell you, that might be a day I'd want to sleep in. But they got up early to obey God. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said to them, "Listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God. Stand firm and have faith. Have faith in his prophet's word, and you will be successful." Then after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army by saying and singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." I want you to get this. The king stops and he consults the people. Who here has the most amazing voices to worship God with? I need to know. And they waited and they found the people and he said, "Y'all come here. You're going to go in front of the army and you're going to worship God as ahead of them." And they began to worship God. "Your love endures forever. Your love endures forever." You see, the God that loves you is for you. The God that loves you is greater than any virus and its effects. And that's exactly what they did. They did what God told them to do. And they went toward a certain death by worshiping and singing God, before God. And as they did it, verse 22 said, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord then caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting against each other. The men of Ammon and Moab rose against the men of Mount Seir, and they destroyed and annihilated them. And then after they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They won a battle without firing a shot. They won a battle by faith. They won a battle by finding their hope in God when the situation was hopeless. And the last thing I want to leave you with is this. Faith in God triumphs. Faith in God gains ground in crisis. See, we don't work with a God who just kind of gets by. God, he's God. He doesn't do mediocrity. He doesn't do, "Let's hunker down and help you survive," God. He is the God of triumph. Jesus said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but you be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I want you to see the outcome of when they found hope in God. The outcome of when they gave substance to that hope by acting upon it through faith. And that's the outcome I want you to expect. "Yeah, but Pastor John, you don't understand what's going on in our home, in my job. I mean, there's just no way." Just like they say, "Lord, we have no power in our hand. And if you aren't there today, you will be at some point in your life." But I want you to see what happens when a person finds hope in God, then gives substance to that hope by faith. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible says this, "When the men of Judah then came to the place that overlooked the desert, and they looked toward the vast army, they only saw dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the loot or the spoil of war. And there was so much of it, the Bible said, it took them 3 days to collect it. They were about to be annihilated. And these armies came together with their equipment and their resources because they're getting ready to take this over. They're bringing their stuff with them. And God said the spoil was so great, it took them 3 days to bring it and take it in. See, God never goes into a battle to draw. God never goes into a battle just to make peace. Anything you do in Christ is to be an overcomer. And let me tell you what I'm trusting God for you and this church and our nation in this time of crisis. I'm not trusting that we'll survive it. I'm trusting and I'm declaring that we will gain ground, that this is the greatest season for God's people to be a light in great darkness, that the kingdom of God will grow, the kingdom of God will expand. And as you put the kingdom first in your life, Jesus said, and all these things will be added to you. You see, it isn't just, God, help me get through it. A person who walks with God and finds their hope in Him and then adds faith to that hope and gives substance to it and walks by faith and not by sight and doesn't ask the circumstances for permission to declare the faithfulness of their God. You begin to talk this way. No matter what's happening around me, no matter what's happening and no matter what it looks like, my God is for me. And if God be for me, the scripture said, who can stand successfully against me? And we're going to come out better than we started in this. Our family will come out better than we started, because my God will cause me to carry the spoil. The coronavirus does not have a relationship with Jesus. You do. The economy of this nation has no relationship with God. You do. And you have to make the decision that the people of God made here. And I want to encourage you to know you can live this way. You absolutely can live this way. Let me pray for you, and then I want to take you into a place of listening to a song of worship. I'm actually not going to ask you to sing or worship where you're at. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to just to close your eyes and let these words wash over your soul. This song was written about 3 weeks before this whole horrible crisis occurred. Some of you might know who Carrie Jobe and Cody Carnes in Elevation Worship are. They were doing this song and they felt compelled to just put it out. 3 weeks ago, they just put it out there. It wasn't anything elaborate. They just felt compelled they had to do it. And it actually is almost a prophetic song to bring peace to you right now and hope, and to hear these words and let it wash over your life. Let it wash over your soul. Let me pray over you. Let me proclaim the goodness of God in you, because your hope is realized when you know that your God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Father, I pray and I proclaim victory over your people, that they will find hope in times when they may be hopeless, that we won't just live in hope, but we will give substance to our hope by walking in faith. And I say by faith, we will gain ground. We will gain ground in this church. We will gain ground in the kingdom. We will gain ground in our homes and our families. We will gain ground in every sphere of life, because our God is more than enough. He is the overflowing, too much God. And we look to you today, Lord. Our eyes are upon you. And now, Lord, I pray that as this song of worship washes over our soul, that it would bring great hope, that it would bring great, great peace. In Jesus' name, let these words wash over your soul. You are the God who is more than enough, and your blessing is upon us. It's upon our families, upon our children, upon our children's children. You are the God who is faithful to 10,000 generations, and nothing, nothing is too difficult for you. We trust you with all of our hearts. Lord, we won't treat you like a distant, unknown God. You are our Father, and the price you paid to redeem us is so unimaginably. Our minds can't wrap around the price. It's beyond comprehension that you would love us to this degree, that you would die for us. And we thank you for your presence in our life. We thank you that we live in hope that comes from you. We act as if we truly serve a Heavenly Father who really is an ever-present help in the times of trouble. Lord, help us to not think that trouble never comes. For Jesus told us, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, be hopeful, for I have overcome the world. And Father, I pray that over every person, every family, every circumstance, every situation, I pray for our nation. I pray for peace. I pray that peace in homes and families. I thank you this virus has no dominion over God's people. And we pray for the healing power of God to sweep our nation, and for the presence of our God to save, for the presence of our God to heal, for the presence of our God to deliver when there is no power in our own hands. And we look to you, and I proclaim that over you by faith in Jesus' wonderful name. I want to ask you a question right where you're at, no matter where you're at watching this. This is maybe the most important question you will ever ask and answer while you live on earth. What will happen to you when you die? What will happen to you when you draw your final breath on this planet and go into eternity? You know, Jesus paid an unimaginable debt for my sin and your sin. You know, sin produces hopelessness in us because there's no way back to God. Every human being has sinned, and every human being needs a Savior. And there's one thing the Bible makes crystal clear. You, me, we can't save ourselves. Church won't do it. Religion won't do it. Good works won't do it. Only a Savior. And the question I would ask you is this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That he came born of a virgin for the very purpose to bear your sin punishment and mine on a cross? If you believe that, the scripture offers you. Jesus himself said, if you'll open your heart, I turn no one away to me. If you'll invite me in, I turn no one away. When he comes into your life by invitation only, he brings with you himself right standing or righteousness before God. Your sin debt is canceled. And you don't become just some distant servant of God. You literally become a child of the living God. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. It's an amazing thing to be loved by God. So right where you're at, if you'd like to pray with me to invite Christ in your heart, I'll pray for you right there. But repeat the words after me. Jesus will come into your life. I promise. Listen, according to the word of God, I promise you he will never leave you, never forsake you. But pray it where you hear it. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, don't be ashamed of this. Listen, this is your eternity. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. So I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled. And I am heaven bound when I die. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, listen, don't go away, because in a few moments, our host, Casey and Kelly, are gonna give you some very important information if you prayed with me, as well as more additional information that all of y'all will need to hear. But please stick around for this, because your next steps are so, so very important. You know, at Victory, we give as we go. And we don't know how long this is going to go on. So I'm gonna start to talk to you like you're here, in the sense that this is how we all live. We give as we go. We continue to do the will of God as Christians. And I want to encourage you as you continue to worship God with your giving. Understand that we are still kingdom builders. In fact, we are doing so much outside the walls of this church at this season. Really, sincerely, more than at any time in our history. And it matters that every one of us connect and pray and serve, and every one of us continue and walk with God, and even in our giving. And so, but this is a simple way that you act out your faith. But I want to help you to worship God right now with your giving. For many of you, you give online or you text to give, but for many of us, we bring our offerings here and we put them in the offering boxes. I'm going to ask you to consider your mailbox, your offering box. And when you do that, I want to pray over your giving today. I want to pray over the favor of God over your home, that the sowing of your finances, even and your worship and your service, and putting the kingdom first will bring such an amazing return of the goodness of God in your life. Let me pray over you, and then Casey and Kelly are going to pick it up right from there, and they're going to help you take some next steps. Father, I pray now as we worship you today with our giving. Thank you for the privilege of being givers. Thank you for the privilege to serve people in these times of need. Thank you for the honor to do that, Lord. We are so, so, so very, very grateful. So we worship you with our giving, and we worship you for the freedom, the healing of this nation, and the deliverance that can come only by the hand of our God. And Father, I pray for great hope to emerge in the soul and the heart of everybody under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.